This is Issues and Ideas from Public Radio KCBX. I'm Jordan Bell. The holidays can be a difficult time for those who've recently lost a loved one. This season of traditions, parties, and family gatherings can be a painful reminder of the one who is not there. One local organization is working to help members in the community experiencing grief. Joining us in the studio is Hospice Slo's Director of Counseling, Tony Huffaker. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you, Jordan.
So I want to go ahead and talk about grieving on an individual basis. You know, why is everyone different in how they grieve? And what's important about considering that as we go into the holiday season?
Sure. Yeah, everybody's grief is different. So much of your grief depends on who the person was you lost, your relationship with the person who has died. It depends on your experience with death. If you've had a series of recent deaths of important people to you all at once, your reaction might be different than if those had been spread out. Somebody who you may not know terribly well may die, but that may sort of trigger some loss and grief from another time in your life that either you haven't fully processed or needs to kind of come up again and be processed some more. And so everybody's going to react differently, just then the fact we all have different personalities and take things, you know, different ways. And so especially then going into the holidays, of course, there's really this kind of expectation that we're all going to have jingle bells and be happy and the turkey's not going to be dry. And so that really then when people are grieving, to have that additional expectation put on them can really make grief difficult.
Right. And then during this time, a whole family could experience this shared loss, mm-hmm. and everyone in that family could be experiencing that differently too. And then when you put them all together, I imagine that could be a challenge.
Sure. And the odds are pretty good that everybody will experience it differently is the other thing. So therapists are so fond of saying that no brothers and sisters have the same parents. Even if you've been raised by the same one, having one kid changes how you are with other kids. And so nobody's got the same set of parents. Nobody's the same person. And so, yeah, one of the things that's really important in families is to really work on for the holidays talking to each other. Because people get the idea that, you know what, one sibling will go, we're not doing the big Christmas get-together this year. It's too close. I just can't do that. It's not important to me. And another sibling or another family member may feel like, wow, this is really important. We've done this every year. I need this consistency. And if people don't talk about that, that can really lead to a lot of conflict because people are just coming in with their expectations of how it, quote unquote, should be. I'm doing air quotes and it's the radio. That's no help. And so it can lead to a lot of conflict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, grief is not an annual thing. It's not just contingent upon the holiday season. People experience grief, and especially during personal events like birthdays or family traditions that aren't necessarily associated with the holidays. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, one of the things with a grief that we talk about is the anniversary reaction is the expression that people use. And it's the idea that 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, easily 10 years out from an event, you know, that's important to you, whether it's an anniversary of the death, whether it's your wedding anniversary, whether it's a birthday, whether it's Christmas, that you may, in the weeks preceding and the weeks following, really be thrown for a loss by your grief. You may be kind of like, what the heck is this, feeling really confused or disoriented or feeling your grief really acutely. And that's not unusual at all. Of course, people tend to look at grief as a really linear kind of thing. They tend to think, oh, well, you know, I should be getting better. And in fact, grief is up and down. It's like waves. It comes and goes. And so people will say, gee, it's been 3 years, 5 years. Why do I still feel this way at Christmas or Thanksgiving? It's perfectly natural to have that happen. And as you're saying, like for things that are personally important to you, the analogy I always use is one of my grandmother's favorite holidays was St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, most people go through March 17th and it's kind of like if it's not an excuse to drink too much, it's just not a day. You know, for me, that's always a very – that day has a particular pull for me that for most people it doesn't have.
Yeah. And I imagine the weight of understanding like the passage of time, like, wow, you know. It's been 6 years. It's been a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Heavy. Now, in planning for holidays, is there any sort of practical advice?
Well, as we've already said, you know, being sure to talk with people, you know, being sure to confer with family members or people you're going to have holidays with is really important. One of the most important things to do is to really try to acknowledge that some of your holiday traditions are going to have to change just by the nature of losing somebody, and to really accept that things are not going to be the same. You know, if nothing else, even if you were to do everything you always did, as you were saying earlier, that person who was there isn't going to be there. So that's really important. I think it's important to ask yourself which traditions you want to change and which traditions you want to keep. Some people feel it's important to hang on to a few things for continuity's sake. Other people feel like, you know, no, I don't want to keep any this year. An example that I heard about was a family who had a death very near Christmas, and they just couldn't do it. They were on the East Coast. They got on a plane, went to Florida, had Christmas in Florida where it was a balmy, you know, 75, 80 degrees, ate turkey sandwiches. Mm-hmm. That was what they had to do that year, you know. Then the next year they went back home. They did some more of the things they were used to. But so being accepting of, okay, well, we may have to keep some things, change some things. One really practical thing I like to tell people is to drive yourself if you can possibly do it. A lot of times we go to places and we think, oh, I got this. And you get there and you realize, oh, I don't have this. And so to have that freedom to come and go as you feel is real helpful for people a lot of times.
Yeah. I want to talk about if there's young people in the mm-hmm. family and thinking about children and planning forward or maybe starting new traditions. You know, how do we consider children during these times?
Sure. I think most of us have a feeling if we want to spare the children and if we don't tell them that somehow they won't notice or it'll be okay. And I think one thing that's really important to do with children is to the ability with their age that they're able to understand and accept it, to involve them in planning and decision making. You know, if you always went out for the Christmas tree with grandpa, you know, we went over to grandma and grandpa's house and we cut down a tree and brought a tree home, and now grandpa's passed. To ask the kids, hey, you know, do you still want to go get a tree? Should we get a tree? So Mom and I were thinking maybe we'd get a tree here. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. You know, and giving children as much input. Now, obviously, you're going to ask different things of a 5-year-old than a 16-year-old, you know, type of thing. But really kind of involving them in the process, maybe helping prepare children a little bit. You know, okay. I think very often we don't want to share our feelings in front of kids. We feel like, oh, if we cry, we're going to upset them. I think to be – not to overwhelm your children or to overwhelm children and young people, but to be open with them about, yeah, I feel sad. Yeah, gee, you know, I really enjoyed going and you know, cutting down the tree with grandpa's family, and we're not going to be able to do that this year, and I miss him, and I feel sad about that. It's an okay thing for kids to do. It's okay for kids to see you cry. Again, if they feel like you're, you know – completely out of control a lot of the time, that may be a different story for them. But most people's grief really isn't that way. We're sad. It's those waves. We're sad and we get over it. We're sad and then we're fine and then we're sad again later. Children are able to deal with those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And some people might be doing okay after they lose someone significant or they lose someone just in their life. Now, during the holidays, it's important to remember it is also okay to be happy.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of pressure. We're supposed to look a certain way when we grieve. And the reality is, kind of like we were saying earlier, as everybody grieves differently. They used to talk about a masculine and a feminine style of grieving until they realized that was kind of silly. They talk a lot about an intuitive and an instrumental style of grieving. Some of us, we look sad when we grieve. We cry, we sigh, we kind of sit around and mope. Some people really do stuff, and it's not a way of avoiding their grief necessarily. It's how they express their grief. And those are the people maybe who organize fundraisers for the disease that took their person or participate in walks and things like that. So we have to know that everybody looks different, and that's important in a family because if, you know, a sister is Sister A is over here crying her eyes out and Sister B is dry-eyed, sometimes the family will go, well, what's up with her? You know, and she may be grieving just as heavily, you know, as her other sister. And then, you know, even grief, like I said, grief is a really up and down process. It's a lot like waves back and forth. And so people will find themselves laughing, you know. People will find themselves laughing at funerals sometimes and they're appalled. And it's like, well, no, there are funny things that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, at funerals, it's okay to laugh. It's okay to be happy. things may come up that are positive reminders. We say at hospice that our goal for people's grief isn't that you'll never feel sad again, but that you'll have as many or more happy memories than you'll have sad memories of the person that you connect with. And so it's not unnatural at a time that's been happy for very many people to have some happy memories and feel okay and feel good during the holidays. And that's not disrespectful to your loved person. That doesn't mean that you're forgetting them. It's just how the nature of grief works.
Yeah, yeah. And where can people find resources, phone numbers or websites?
Sure, sure. Certainly here at Hospice SLO in town. We just did a presentation on grief in the holidays, which we'll probably do again next year. We have some information on our website. And, of course, we have counseling services and group services, and you know, people can contact us locally, and our website is hospiceslo.org. Some other websites that I think are fun that have written material, things to look at. One is called What's Your Grief? So whatsyourgrief.com, all one word. Another one is Modern Loss, again just one word, modernloss.com. They have a lot of both of them just recently had posts on, you know, grief and Thanksgiving, grief in the holidays. So those are certainly some. And our phone number at hospice is the local area code 805-544-2266.
Tony Huffaker is the Director of Counseling of Hospice SLO. Thank you for joining us on Issues and Ideas.
Thank you very much, Jordan. Yeah.